afternoon. I'm Khaki Walton. Checking on the arts is made possible by contributing listeners and by Theater Memphis. It's just a ride. A song about riding the cyclone of life. Germantown Community Theater continues its 53rd season with the regional premiere of Ride the Cyclone the Musical. It opens at GCT this Friday and runs through September the 1st. Performances are Friday and Saturday at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2:30. And as always, they'll have a sensory-friendly performance with sign language interpreter at the Sunday, August the 25th matinee. And tickets to Ride the Cyclone are only $10. You can get yours by going to gctcomeplay.org or by calling their box office at 453-7447. John Smiley is directing the show. Max Robinson is choreographing, and they join me by Zoom this afternoon. Good to see you both.
Good to see you too.
I just have to start off with this. Okay, I've never heard of this show, and I started reading about it, and I started listening to the music, and I fell in love. I can't believe I've never heard of this, but this is what New York critics have said. They've called it clever, hilarious, unconventional, unceasingly delightful, a witty show of immense sweetness. And so every single review I've read has just been adoring. It's just adoration of this show. So tell us more about it, John. You want to give us a little thumbnail sketch of the plot?
Absolutely. And I'm trying not to include too many spoilers because there is a lot that goes on in this show. So I'll attempt not to do that. But the show revolves around this St. Cassian's Choir from Uranium City, Saskatchewan. And they are at the wonderful fair singing at this local Kiwanis competition. And then after that, they proceed to go to the amusement park and ride the rides. And they're instructed by this sort of omnipotent fortune-telling machine to ride the cyclone. So they get on this roller coaster, and then tragedy ensues, and the events that unfold after that particular tragedy are what the show focuses on. And it's really just quite the delight. I know that's kind of reducing it to something very simple, but again, I want the audience to feel the sense of the unexpected and to feel the sense of surprise while they're there, although it gets spoiled within the first 2 minutes anyway. Karnak, the narrator character, does a really good job of spoiling it for everybody. So,
well, had you heard of it before?
So this is actually, go ahead.
You go, John, you're good.
Well, it was just because this morning I was writing my director's note, because they always take so long to come to fruition. And I was introduced to the piece by a former student of mine a couple of years back. And I listened to it and I absolutely fell in love with it for so many reasons. But that's how I was introduced to it.
What about you, Max?
I actually saw really short snippets of Ride the Cyclone about a year ago on TikTok. And I love when that Apple help generate some new musicals or show me new things that I didn't know about our world. And I watched and I was intrigued, but I didn't really deep dive into it. And then I got a call from Smiley late winter, early spring. And I've been listening to it every day since.
Well, I read about that whole TikTok thing. In 2022, I think there was a clip of The Ballad of Jane Doe, and that was just a viral sensation on TikTok. And I think, videos gained up to 400,000 likes and millions of views. And so I'm not a TikTok person. I'm thinking maybe now I should be. Let's talk about the characters, too, because when I was reading about each character and I was listening to each character, they each sing a song about themselves and about their life. And when I read it described as a macabre funhouse variation on the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, that's what I was thinking of. Because we get introduced to all of these different characters, and it reminded me of Spelling Bee a bit. Tell us about the characters that we'll meet in this show.
So I think that to compare it to Spelling Bee, I think that's adequate. I think it also has hints of Forever Plaid. But it's an extremely truthful piece. I find it much more authentic and truthful than, not that Spelling Bee's not, but this is, like I said, a very human experience. And these teenagers are going through things that, you know, every teenager or every person, young or old, I think in some way, shape, or form has experienced. And each musical number reflects their sort of fantasized their fantasy coming true. You know, they're seeing their desire realized as they compete. So each one of these characters is competing for a fabulous prize, as they call it in the show. And a lot of them are based in archetypes. So you see the archetype of the cheerleader, or the archetype of the intellectual, things like that. But yeah, great songs that show their personality. The character of Jane Doe, her song is a little bit different. It's framed a little bit differently. It still is a part of the experience, but it kind of pops out in a very interesting way.
Right.
And Max has had incredible choreography to enhance the individuality of each number. So I think that Max is also been a rock star in helping craft this.
Well, that's the thing about it. I mean, when I was listening to the music, it's so eclectic. There's so many different styles of music. I mean, you've got something, you have hip hop, you've got a song that reminds me of David Bowie, you've got swing, you've got cabaret. So I was thinking, Max, for you, what a treat for a choreographer, because the music is so eclectic, because you get to incorporate a lot of different choreographic styles to this.
Mm-hmm. When Smiley and I first started talking about working on the show, I was listening through it and I was like, oh my goodness, this is a hip hop number. Oh my gosh, this is something that could be a tango. Oh my gosh, this is something that needs soft shoe. Oh my goodness, this is that cabaret feel. There's numbers that are, you know, they still have that quintessential musical theater sound that we expect, but there's something truly in this show, music, dance, character wise, for everybody. And getting to really have a show that incorporates so many different dance styles and honestly allows us to incorporate a lot of different culture into one show has been really wonderful. Like, we have Ukrainian wedding ceremonial dance in this. There's a little bit of Memphis Jukin in it, pulling from local and, you know, international, so that we can really have the storytelling of all these dances be as authentic as possible for each of these characters in very different places.
And don't you just feel that audiences are really going to genuinely come to care for these characters?
If you can make it through the end of the show with dry eyes, I would be very surprised.
Aww.
The way that this cast is just excelling and the truth that they bring to the story is, it is so special.
Well, yeah.
Do you want to tell us who's in the cast and the roles they play?
So, yeah, we have a tremendous cast. Christopher Cotton plays the omnipotent fortune-telling machine, Karnak. Rose Blakeman plays Ocean Rosenberg O'Connell. J.D. Wills plays Ricky Potts, the most imaginative boy in town. We have Cameron Crawford playing Jane Doe, which is extraordinary because Cameron just played in beautiful Carole King. To watch Cameron do the flip, the total opposite, has been really, really cool. Brandon Dickerson plays Noel. Chase Ring plays Misha Baczynski. And then we have Emma Johnson, who plays Constance Blackwell. I don't think I'm leaving anybody out.
I love this. Now, I don't want to give away too much either, but this, I just thought this was so funny. When you mentioned Misha Baczynski, a Ukrainian adoptee who immigrated after his mother dying from radiation poisoning while on a Chernobyl disaster cleanup crew, put him up for adoption and lied about his age. So when he reached Canada, his adoptive parents were expecting a quote-unquote recently potty-trained two-year-old, but instead they received a violent teenage boy with a drinking problem. Oh my god.
I mean, every one of these characters has a backstory like that, you know. They're absolutely juicy, loaded, you know. I think it borderlines on absurd, but you know, we don't play it like that. We play it for the truth. And again, as you know, Max said, watching the truth and the beauty evolve since we began in June has just been absolutely extraordinary. Sometimes it's even hard for me to talk about, you know, just the transformation of it from where we began to where we are. It's just, it's wild.
And I do, I think that I want to see this show to see the character of Noel Gruber, because I've already fallen in love with him. You want to tell us about Noel?
Noel is one of the characters that on the first listen of this musical, you know, months and months ago, I thought I had an idea of how I wanted to choreograph Noel's lament, Noel's song. And then Brandon comes into the space, and just the way that he has been organically able to discover this character is more delicious than anything that I could have really kind of predetermined or set. And I, without giving too much away, there are some experiences that Noel goes through at the first half of the show, whether at the hands of Karnak or are really coming into his authenticity, that I very much relate to. And I think a lot of people will be able to appreciate the way that Noel and the way that Brandon specifically is playing Noel will kind of see a role model of what it looks like to own yourself. Yeah. and what makes you so special and beautiful.
I love that he sings a number that sort of is an homage to Marlene Dietrich, or he has an alter ego. How are you staging this? It can be done in black box. Are you doing it like that?
Oh, this is, I said yesterday, being in GC, we're pushing GCT to the limit right now. We're maxing out. It's been really just to watch everybody step up and meet the ridiculous things, the artistic things that we ask them to do is really cool. I think the black box, GCT is almost like a black box. And this show originated in a very small venue in Canada, kind of has its roots in cabaret and vaudeville. It kind of started with this company called Atomic Vaudeville. So I think the space that we're in right now really lends itself to telling the story. You know, now you see a lot of extravagant productions of it that really focuses on the spectacle. And we do have quite a bit of spectacle, but we really, you know, that being in the GCT theater, I think bridges the gap between spectator and audience in a way that kind of connects them and makes the storytelling really, really powerful in there. You know, I think it's kind of like a theatrical event. I was inspired by, you know, the Flaming Lips when we were working on this, you know, and it has that kind of trunk theater piece vibe to it. There's lots of props. David Galloway's set is outstanding in this space. Kevin Rogers' lighting and Ashley, you know, just everybody's, we've been really collaborating on it too. It's been a very open, artistic, space for everyone to kind of have their hand in it and to take ownership in it. But yeah, it's kind of a long-winded version of your answer, but
I'm glad you talked about that, because I wanted to ask about, you know, the other people on the team that helped to put this all together. As far as the music, do you have a music director, or do you have a band, or what's going on?
Max, you want to give them the
So Tammy Holt is our music director and our impeccable leader, all things music. You know, this we arrived at the theater this weekend, and I got to hear some of the band for the first time right before our sits probe, and just cried multiple times.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
Incredible. The musicians that we have, the leadership that Tammy has brought to the table for the cast as they sing, for the musicians, for sound design. What a gift to get to work with her, and what she has been able to bring out in a music way for this show is, it is nothing short of magic.
Yeah. And it's such a hard score too, you know, because there's so many different styles inside of it. You know, as Max said it on Saturday, when we heard the band for the first time, it was just awe inspiring to hear it and to see it and to watch it all sort of fall into place, and how it had an effect on the cast as well. Cause there's so many things carved. I mean, there's a score there, but there's also a soundscape that's carved into it. And we have a really awesome sound designer, Walker Higgins, who's been just destroying it, making everyone sound good, the band, the cast. It's been just really neat. And we're doing something a little bit different. Now, that space, as you know, is very tiny. Mm-hmm. And to put a band in there can be really difficult. And this is like, I think it's either five or six pieces. I want to say it's five. So what we've done is we put them in the rehearsal hall. So the band is in the rehearsal hall, and then the band is pumped into the theater.
Oh!
So, you know, they're back there. You know, one of the characters that Carnett mentions at the beginning of the play is this rat named Virgil, who plays the bass. So there's also a rat bass player, but I won't give that away yet. But the band is in the back, and it's really cool that they're a part of it. Because, you know, Max and I, when we were staging it and doing the choreography, we're like, wow, we need space for this, you know? And if you put six pieces of instrumentation up there, that takes up a lot of space.
Yeah.
Because we use an LED screen too. So you would have to, it would have taken a lot of finagling, but it's really cool to have them back there and be a part of it like that.
Well, I think you're a genius for figuring out to do it that way. And that way, when I come see the show, I'm not going to be going, wait, where's the band? Where are they? They're there someplace. I can't see them.
Yeah. And it's not a recording. That's like one of the things we're very intentional about. I don't want people to think that this is recorded, because it's definitely not. I mean, they're back there. They're working hard. And again, this show was constructed like a roller coaster, and it moves fast and it moves furious, and there are fast ups and fast downs. And yeah.
Well, Ride the Cyclone, it's the regional premiere of Ride the Cyclone, the musical at Germantown Community Theater, as they continue their 53rd season. The show opens this Friday and runs through September the 1st. Again, performances are Friday and Saturday at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2:30. And they'll have that sensory-friendly performance with a sign language interpreter on Sunday, August the 25th. Tickets only $10. You're going to fall in love with this show. Call 453-7447. That's a box office. You can get your tickets there or get them online at gctcomeplay.org. John Smiley directing Ride the Cyclone, the musical, Max Robinson choreographing, and they have been my guests this afternoon. You guys, I can't wait to see this show. Thank you so much for talking to us about it this afternoon.
Absolutely.